Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So what do yesterday's election results mean going forward? Donald Trump's victories in Florida, Illinois, North Carolina put him over the halfway mark of delegates needed to lock up a nomination. Hillary Clinton's wins in Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Illinois have her at around the halfway point, above if you include those superdelegates, slightly below if you don't. The other candidates, Bernie Sanders, John Kasich, Ted Cruz, are all pushing on. So what are some of the things to watch going forward? Ron Elving is senior Washington editor and correspondent for NPR. And Ron, people might want to, you know, break out a pencil and pad or maybe a whiteboard while we do this.
I hope it won't be that bad.
It's math. So start on the Republican side. Where are we on the delegate count?
Where we are on the delegate count right now is that the Republican candidate Donald Trump has a couple of hundred more delegates than Ted Cruz. And the prospect of getting a pretty even split on the delegates going forward, which means essentially that he cruises all the way to the nomination. Now, if somehow the fortunes of these candidates reverse and the rest of the way Ted Cruz dominates the primaries and caucuses the way Donald Trump has been doing, or if John Kasich is able to suddenly strap on some sort of rocket and take off as a candidate and win someplace other than in his home state, what we're going to see is Donald Trump maintaining something like that delegate lead straight on through into June. And by the last set of primaries in the first week of June, which includes California and New Jersey, some other good-sized places, Donald Trump's going to have 1,237 delegates, and that's more than half the delegates and enough to be nominated on the first ballot.
Right. Domenico Montanaro, your colleague, tweeted today that Donald Trump needs 54% of the remaining delegates to win a majority. Ted Cruz, 69%. John Kasich, 88%. It seems very difficult for Kasich, but not easy for Donald Trump to get 54%. But if you said if he keeps going at this pace, that'll happen. Well, take Ted Cruz. He came in second in Illinois and North Carolina, picked up 26 delegates yesterday. Here he is last night.
Tonight, we continue to gain delegates and continue our march to 1,237. And after tonight, America now has a clear choice going forward.
But what does lie ahead for Ted Cruz? He's been winning with evangelicals in the South and in Iowa. So what do the states look like ahead?
They look less like the Deep South and the Midwest. They look more like the West. And Ted Cruz is going to have to somehow find a way to break through to a larger group of Republicans outside the evangelical community or outside the community that calls itself evangelical when it's asked by pollsters whether or not it likes that label. He's going to have to find a way to appeal also in places like the state of New York, which is probably going to be better ground for either Donald Trump or John Kasich. Now, there's some debate as to whether or not having two people in the race makes it easier for Donald Trump to go on dominating the way he has done. It's a smaller field than it has been. And if John Kasich does not really step out into a stronger role than he's had up until now, and by the way, that's going to be extra difficult because the last debate that was scheduled has just been canceled. That was supposed to be next week in Salt Lake, Utah. That debate is no longer going to take place, and that's been confirmed by Fox News. So we do not necessarily anticipate having more debates. Some of the free media that these candidates have been enjoying is going to be going away. So as Ted Cruz needs to break out from evangelicals, John Kasich needs to figure out a way to reach a mass audience.
Well, by the way, that sounds interesting to us that debate's been canceled because it would have been an opportunity to see what it would have felt like without Marco Rubio there. So
that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that.
And it also could have been an opportunity to see what it would be like if Donald Trump was not there. And he had already made it clear he did not intend to participate in any more debates. That could have something to do with why this debate is not happening.
Well, there you go. But John Kasich, with that big win in Ohio, winner take all. So he did deny Donald Trump a trove of delegates there. Here he is last night.
We are going to go all the way to Cleveland and secure the Republican nomination.
Ron Elving, what's happening here? I mean, he has, feels like very Don Quixote-esque. And yet, is he sincere about thinking that something might happen between now and July and he might have the nomination? Does he feel he's playing a role to knock out delegates that, you know, to deny Donald Trump that magic number? What's happening?
Sometimes it makes sense to listen to the exact words that politicians say. And in this case, John Kasich used the unusual verb secure, not win the nomination, but secure the nomination. Now, one thing that he might be thinking, just as a theory, is that he would make a pretty good vice presidential candidate for someone who would like to be sure that they carry the state of Ohio. And as we say many times, no Republican has ever won the White House without carrying Ohio. So if John Kasich is not going to be the nominee, and as you say, the mathematical challenge for him to become the nominee is truly insuperable, then what he would like to do is to secure the nomination perhaps for someone else by offering up the delegates that he has to help someone else get over the top. Now, who that someone else might be, well, right now on the math, as we've said, the likeliest person would be Donald Trump.
I like likeliest hood. But speaking of these delegates and where do they go, what happens to Marco Rubio's?
The Republican rules for delegates are a lot like a lot of other parts of Republican philosophy. They depend on the states. They prefer not to have one big rule that fits all. So they let each of the states set their own rules. And so depending on where Marco got that delegate, it will depend on the rules of that state. In some cases, they'll wind up being able to vote their own conscience, make their own preference known on the first ballot. In some cases, they will be required to vote for Marco Rubio. And in some other cases, they may have their vote reallocated to another candidate. So it's going to vary from state to state. It's not going to be a big block unit at the convention.
Donald Trump, front runner, but he's also moving out of the Rust Belt where he's been collecting votes and delegates into states like California. I kept hearing this morning analysts saying he cannot win without the party, without the party establishment. What does that mean? And is that true?
It is. Well, let's put it this way. No one has won the presidency without the support of the party establishment of one party or the other. And well over a century, way back into the 1800s, there really is no modern precedent for it. Now, Donald Trump has broken a lot of other modern precedents, and so we should be careful about what we say he can and cannot do. But at this juncture, it would be so much easier for him, if he does win the nomination, or if he gets even close to it, to somehow make his peace with the rest of the Republican Party and carry as much of that party as he possibly can with him in the fall election, in the fall campaign. And if that requires him toning down some of his rhetoric, if it requires him taking somebody else's pick for vice president and accepting that as his own, whatever it might require him to do, it behooves him to do that if he wants to have a truly full chance, a representative chance of winning in November.
Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side, still continuing on. Here he is addressing supporters in Phoenix yesterday. This is ahead of the primary there next week.
We will win if the voter turnout is high. Let's make it high. Thank you all very much.
Trying to get non-traditional voters there, but Hillary Clinton has twice the delegates. Then she has those super delegates, 467 to his 26. What are the chances that he can get some of these super delegates that aren't, you know, pledged to vote the way the voters have? These are party officers, lawmakers who can do whatever they want, and so many of them have pledged to her.
The chances are not good unless he really does mount a revolution, a political revolution, and start getting more of the pledged delegates. That's the deficit that matters the most. Mm-hmm. If he could reverse that, if he could get the share of the vote going forward that Hillary Clinton has gotten up to this point, then some of those pledged delegates or some of those unpledged delegates, the ones we call superdelegates, would look at that number, as they did in 2008, and say, well, maybe we should be with that other person. Maybe we should not be with Hillary Clinton. And she did lose some of her superdelegates in that contest to Barack Obama, but not that many, and certainly not as many as it would take to reverse what we see going on in the superdelegate category right now. So the first task for Bernie Sanders is win more primaries and caucuses, and he's going to do that in the weeks coming up. He looks pretty good. The next seven contests look pretty good for him, and that includes Arizona, Washington, Wisconsin, some pretty good-sized states. He could run the table on the next seven events. It would still leave him trailing Hillary Clinton.
Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent. You can put away your whiteboards. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.